Hello, my name is Wendy Ernson, and I'm your host on Let's Plant Houses. So thank you to all of our listeners joining us today. I have a very special guest today, and I'm gonna let her tell her story. So I'll just start with, hello, Rhonda, if you want to say
hello,
hi.
Hello, Wendy.
Hi, I want to just thank you so much for joining us today. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you for having me.
So, Rhonda, why don't we just start off with you telling the listeners a little bit about your family.
Like I said, my name is Rhonda, and we are very blessed that we have an adult son, Tyler, who was born at 24 weeks gestation. He was 1 pound, 5 ounces when he was born. And when he was born, he had a bleed in the center of his brain that affected both the right and left ventricle. So we knew right from the get-go, if he survived, that he would have disabilities. And he's 31 now. He's, you know, great. But Tyler has been diagnosed with autism and cerebral palsy. And, you know, he's got some other challenges. He's got some vision issues. He's deaf in one ear. But the autism and the cerebral palsy are really the two diagnoses that we had to work through for the past 31 years.
So when that all first happened, I'm guessing your life changed pretty dramatically.
It did. Well, you know, because Tyler was born so prematurely, he had less than a 20% chance of survival.
Wow.
And, you know, because back 31 years ago, 24-week preemies, that was the very, very edge of viability.
Oh, yeah.
His eyes were still closed. He had no cartilage in his ears. I would say his fingers were like the width of a piece of cooked spaghetti.
Wow.
I mean, he was 12 inches long. So, you know, at the beginning, we were very concentrated on, is he going to live?
And his medical.
And, you know, he was in the NICU at Bronson Methodist Hospital in Kalamazoo. We were there for 100 days.
Okay.
And we were a little bit of an anomaly in that I became pregnant with my second child while Tyler was still in the hospital. And so 7.5 months later, his brother made an appearance into the world at 31 weeks gestation. So we had two little ones. And so, you know, it was essentially like having twins.
Were they both in the hospital then at that point? Were they both?
No. Tyler had been out for a couple of days. And my mom had been asking me if I was pregnant, and I was like, this isn't even funny. Just
right.
Not funny. My kid's still in the NICU, my
yeah.
first child. And she came over and handed me a brown paper bag, and it had a home pregnancy test in it. And she said, humor me, and left. And so I humored her, and it came back positive.
Wow.
And so they're due dates are 8.5 months apart, and their birth dates are 7.5 months apart.
That is remarkable.
So Tyler had come home, but you know, then when Logan was born premature as well, for different reasons, he was right back in the same NICU with our same wonderful nursing staff, and you know, so his was a lot easier. He was 2 pounds 10 ounces, so he was double the weight of his brother.
Yeah,
and you know, and he did not have the brain bleed. He did not have a lot of the other issues. He didn't cook long enough. So, you know, he turned out, you know, he was a true blessing because he did not have, he was delayed, but did not have disabilities. And so he really was a motivator for Tyler.
Oh.
As Tyler grew, he had this person that he could pattern after growing up. And, you know, so it was a huge blessing in the scheme of things to have two that close.
Okay.
It was not my plan.
Right, right.
So.
But it sounds like over time.
Right.
That it was.
Yes, yeah. Over time. So, you know, but the early years were busy. And.
Yeah, I was going to say, what was your life like then?
5 days a week of therapies.
Okay.
When Tyler was diagnosed, we knew coming out of the hospital he was going to have disabilities because of the bleed. We just did not know what.
Yeah.
So we were, again, we were really fortunate because of the time that was spent in the hospital. We were connected with early on Michigan or the Part H program.
Okay.
And so Tyler has been in therapies from day one,
you know,
really from the time we left the hospital. So that would have been 100 days old. Until he left school, he was receiving, you know, a lot of different therapies, and that very much helped. Having that early on in the early interventions was really a godsend for us. It really pushed him. And at that time, it was all focusing on the physical. Tyler did not walk until he was 4 and a half.
Okay.
So we had a wheelchair and prone stander. He wouldn't put pressure on his feet, so we had to work on that. And
so probably like occupational therapy and physical therapy.
We did PT, OT, and speech.
Okay.
5 days a week.
Okay.
It was very busy. And, you know, both through independent and through the schools.
Mm-hmm.
We were... you know, it was just busy. Those early years are very dark for me.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I was going through my own grief and my own things. I divorced from their father. Mm-hmm. We were one of the many statistics.
Yeah.
And, you know, because he's a really good man, but we just dealt with things differently. And
it's really hard because you're making life-changing decisions on a daily basis.
Absolutely. And he processed things differently than I did, you know. And so it's nothing against him. It's just we were one of those statistics.
Mm-hmm.
So as things progressed and he grew, it became obvious that he was not going to fit the mold of going on to college and, you know.
He's going to have a different path.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And, that you know, that was apparent pretty early, but he was general ed through his school.
That's amazing.
He had special ed supports.
Yeah, sure. Like resource room and...
Right.
Yeah.
So the high school he went to had the AI program there. He would be some of his general ed. We went to Huron Valley Schools.
What is AI? I'm sorry, what was AI?
Autism impaired.
Got it. Okay.
And so that kind of gave us a balance because he's like so many other people on the spectrum. He's brilliant in some areas, and he would burn the house down.
Without guidance.
You know, so it's that balance that we as parents, we just have to figure out.
Yeah.
And then figure out how to create a life from there.
Yep, that's true. What so once he made it through some of those physical components, what supports helped as he grew up?
We were, well...
Or what program, like, what things did he like to do?
Right. Tyler is a very passionate sports enthusiast.
Ooh.
So, I mean, he is Detroit through and through.
What's his favorite team?
The Tigers.
Okay.
For most of his life, he was a NASCAR guy.
Okay.
I mean, Jeff Gordon started racing the year that Tyler discovered NASCAR. And that was it.
Yeah.
You know, Jeff was his guy.
Yeah.
And NASCAR, I mean, he would cry when Jeff would lose. He knows the names of his children. It's like,
I love it.
You know, their anniversary dates.
He's a true fan.
He is a true fan. And as he's become older, he's progressed more to other sports. And now he's really, really a baseball guy. Although he loves hockey, he loves, you know, any sport we can get him to.
How's he feel about the Lions this year?
Well, let's put it this way. We looked into Super Bowl tickets, and when we discovered the cheapest ones I could find were $8,000 and up for a ticket.
Okay.
Not your...
No? That's out of both of our price range.
I don't live in that world. So we will watch it from home, but it's been a really exciting year.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Very exciting.
Something we've all been waiting for like 60 years, so, you know, not that long.
No.
So one of the things I like to talk about on this show is that I like to talk about parents' plant-a-house moments. Mm-hmm. So this might be like a moment where you as a parent had to make the impossible possible for Tyler. Is there something you might want to share?
Yeah. So for me, that moment occurred when we were transitioning out of high school.
Mm-hmm.
Tyler, we were looking at what we were going to do, if he was going to continue into post-secondary until, which Michigan is wonderful, it provides supports until 26.
Right.
And I was working full-time at that time, and I took off work, and we went to visit the post-secondary program in the district that we were in.
Sure.
And we walked in, and it looked like kindergarten.
Mm-hmm.
And the very chirpy, very nice young lady said to me, and on nice days, we take them down to downtown to mix with the general population.
Okay.
And I said, he is the general population.
Right. He's been in school and, with everybody his whole career.
And so we left there, and I took Tyler back to school, and I went home and cried.
Oh.
Because it was like, we did not work this hard all of these years for him then as an adult to be treated like a kindergartner.
Right.
And what they were doing is stuff he did, you know, they were working on, basic skills, mm-hmm. which I think everybody should be still going through home ec and, all of these things. But it was kind of a been there, done that kind of thing. And now we know what works with him and what doesn't. So let's keep growing.
Right.
And it wasn't a place of growth for him.
Right.
So I went home and I cried and I said, I will build a program before I put my child in this situation.
Right.
And unfortunately, at that point, I gave permission to God to have to build a program. So that's that was my plant a house moment. It's like, ha, 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 you said it. Here we go. So,
you want to talk a little more about that?
I will. So what we did, Tyler, after high school, he went to MCTI, Michigan Career and Technology Institute, in Plainwell,
okay.
which is basically, it's like a trade school for individuals with disabilities or challenges.
That's amazing.
And it's a residential program, so mm-hmm. it's like going to college. He had a room where they shared with somebody else, mm-hmm. and then they shared their bedroom, cafeteria, the whole thing. He had to walk to his classes, but it's job training, and not, so it might be auto mechanics, or there is telecommunications, or all kinds of programs there. And Tyler was in the sales and marketing program. And when he came home, the economy was bad at that point, and he couldn't find a job.
Yeah.
And so in our world, everybody works. Everybody needs a purpose to get out of bed in the morning. Mm-hmm. And so I said, one of his chores was to do our returnable cans and bottles at mm-hmm. the store. So I'm like, well, I hate doing this. I bet other people, that's God's other joke. I hate doing it. Other people hate doing it.
Yeah.
Maybe they would be willing to let Tyler do it. So we made up some flyers. And I was thinking, just our neighborhood.
Right.
Our neighborhood, our subdivisions, maybe another subdivision.
Right.
I was thinking 10 hours a week.
Yeah.
And now 10 years later, I still can't believe it's been 10 years. he works 4 to 5 days a week. He services a wide area. Each day he goes to a different geographic community area.
Yep.
And, we've mentored over 20 individuals. And then we've also worked with several agencies who have then built and developed their own businesses, their own bottle return services. So it really, God took me at my word and said, you get to build a program. I just was not planning on it. That was not my life plan. But, when you have a child with a disability, all your life plans go out the window anyway. And I've just kind of learned you have to roll with it.
Yep. You have to flex.
Yes. We do a lot of flexing.
So I'm curious about this business, if you want to talk a little bit more. So
yes.
So you said geographic area. So how many counties are you guys serving?
Right now we are primarily only in 2 counties and parts of counties. At one point when he first started, we would go all over. So we live in Waterford,
mm-hmm.
and so we covered all of Oakland County. We were going as far, we were going to the east, St. Clair Shores.
Mm-hmm.
He had clients in Detroit. So we were truly working 5 days a week, and it got too big.
Yeah.
I mean, he was in the newspaper, and there were some articles about what we were doing, and it kind of overwhelmed our world. And that's where I said, okay, there's a demand for this. So that's when we started reaching out through, we started with the agency that provides Tyler services. We use Community Living Services.
Mm-hmm.
And so we spoke to their support coordinators and said, this is what we did. They built the model with us.
Okay.
Because nobody, they'd never had somebody that did bottle return businesses like this.
Right.
And they started introducing it into their clients, and it just kind of grew from there. So our first people that we mentored were all through CLS, and now it's branched out further than that.
So if someone calls you, like, from Macomb County, we'll say, let's say you're mm-hmm. not serving Macomb County, do you guys refer them then to some of these other businesses so they would have client referrals?
Absolutely. Oh, so if they're amazing. In Macomb County, it's Lamar and Keith, L&K's Bottle Return
Service. Oh, you're like, I already got it.
And they are two guys. They're roommates. They get out. I think they work like once a week, once every other week they go out and do it. They're not every day like Tyler, and that's okay. It works for them. And they're good guys. And then, you know, so we've had people that have started their businesses and then said, this isn't for me, and they don't do it anymore. And that's great because it's allowed them to say, this is for me, this is not for me. And I've made those choices with businesses I've worked for or things that I have done. I've gone in and said, nope, not for me, and you take a different path. This allows them to do that rather than saying, this is the job you can get. You can be a greeter at Walmart. You can bag groceries at Kroger. And I'm not saying any of that is bad because it's wonderful. It's employment. But that wasn't what Tyler wanted to do.
So it's about each person finding something meaningful to them.
Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, this allowed him to, he got into it and he loved it. And it gave him freedom and importance. And he is his own boss.
Yep.
And he can set schedules. And if we want to go to a game, we can work the schedule so he has the day off so we can go to a game. You know, it's been really an amazing thing. And we never anticipated the growth that would happen.
Right.
This was, you know, I've told people what has happened with Tyler's business is a product of fate and good timing and the amazing communities we have around here, because it certainly wasn't my business acumen that it started and grew. It was
Mom,
a much more
thing. Mom, you
need
to take some credit for it, I think.
Well, yeah, I'm not stupid. I do have some skill. But I've started a business that failed. So that's why I say it's not my own business acumen. You know, it's more than that. We have a wonderful community, and it also shows how much information about, recognition about people with disabilities, how it's becoming, we are getting, slowly but surely, things are becoming more accepted.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, at first he was getting business that I think, oh, here's this cute kid with, you know, autism, and I'll give him help. And, you know, it was more the sympathy kind of thing.
Right.
Where now, 10 years later, it is a true, viable, productive business.
Right.
And that's cool.
Right.
That's what, you know, he got through COVID and is still viable. And
which
you know, it was wonderful.
Huge.
Absolutely. COVID was, those were really bad days.
But I love what you just said, though, about how you've even gotten to experience the transition from this whole sympathetic piece to this more inclusive piece.
Absolutely.
So, and I agree with you. I mean, because probably the more people that are exposed to people like Tyler, maybe not just Tyler, but people like Tyler, then they get to see, like, how to how everybody can be a part of our community. It doesn't need to be separate.
Right. And what's been really neat to watch is the growth. You know, when Tyler started, we started out as a micro business. It mm-hmm. was just a little thing out of the house, make a couple of dollars. I mean, I truly thought if he makes $20 a week,
right,
I'll be
thrilled. I'll be excited.
And then it started growing, and he was making more money. And I'm like, okay, whoa, we need to be legal.
Right.
You know, I mean,
right.
I
you're like, what are all the things I got to do?
Right. And so, you know, that's when we got an attorney, and we started his special needs trust. His special needs trust owns his LLC.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, everything for him, it's all his money. It's all his, you know.
And it's protected.
It's protected.
Yep.
And that's important.
Yeah.
And
you're protecting his future.
Absolutely. And, you know, that the need for that, his father passed away 5 years ago, very unexpectedly. Mm. And that made it very real to me that, okay, wait a minute, there's no fallback.
Right.
I have to make sure he is financially secure and able to function in our communities
yeah.
without me. And yeah. that, you know, so again, that building the business gave him a community that and that's an unexpected reward from it because he's recognized.
That's amazing.
And, you know, people all over recognize him.
You were telling me the story before, so I would love, would you mind sharing that story about when he was out in, I'll let you tell it.
Okay, yeah, so we were out, this is back when he was still doing mm-hmm. a wide area, and we were over, I don't remember if we were in St. Clair Shores or Wayne, or we were on the east side, and it was time for lunch, and we went into, I think it was like a Five Guys or something. Mm-hmm. We're sitting there, and this gentleman comes up. He goes, "You're Tyler from Tyler's Bottle Service, right?" And Tyler goes, "Yep." And he's like, "I've seen you all over Facebook. Can I take a picture with you?" So this guy took a photo with Tyler to post on his Facebook, you know, and Tyler got a kick out of that. And that happens. We'll be in a restaurant or a grocery store or something. People come up, and they know it's Tyler from Tyler's Bottle Service because he has been around now and has received publicity. But to him, we're a small community.
Yeah.
You know, we have, you know, Metro Detroit, we're huge. There's hundreds of thousands of people around here. But Tyler sees people almost every day in our day that know him. The people in the grocery stores know him. The people at the businesses know him. And, you know, so for him, we're not in such a big community. And I just love that. I love that my son feels part of his community. And when we moved into Waterford, you know, he joined the Chamber of Commerce. And our township has given him an award. They've recognized his business for his mentorship efforts.
That's amazing.
And he was in, they did a census video for our township. He was in that. They asked Tyler to be, you know, it's my, our community has truly embraced him. And that gives me so much hope and peace for not only my child, but everybody else with a disability, that our society is opening up and starting to embrace our kids.
That is beautiful. And I just love that that's been his experience. And I agree with you that that he's able to, because of his example, he's able to show other people like how easy it is, like how easy it is to be inclusive, and how amazing and rewarding it is, you know, for us as parents to have that experience.
It really
so it wasn't
is.
Always like that, like when they're young, right? Because
because
you're trying to figure out their path. There might be behaviors, there might be some things that prohibit them from being included, right? And so to have that happen when they're adults is just such a blessing.
We had, one of the things that stood out in my head that I carried for a lot of years, when he was about five or six, right in there, we'd gone into McDonald's for lunch. Mm-hmm. And at that time, there was a Pokemon promotion that was going on with these little Pokeballs, and there was the gold card you can get in the Pokeballs, and you know, this is quite a few years ago. And we walk into the restaurant, and there's a line out the door,
right?
And it was women in there to get the Happy Meal toys for their children. They didn't want the meals, they didn't want the food, all they wanted was the toys.
Okay.
And so Tyler, being on the spectrum and being hungry, he had a massive meltdown at that time, standing in line. He didn't understand standing in line and waiting your turn. And so he's getting progressively more distraught and upset and vocal and all of the things. And these moms are all looking at me and judging me, and you need to get control of your child. Mm-hmm. And I finally became tired of it, and I marched my hind end up to the counter, and I said, "We're actually here for food.
Right.
Can we be served?" And so then, you know, the manager's like, "Oh, yes." And so then they made one line for the people who just wanted the Pokeballs.
Right.
And those who really were there to eat, we could, and so we got our food. And I carried that for a long time because I thought, am I always going to have to fight this battle of him being judged,
right?
Because he's reacting like a five-year-old with autism who does not understand this, and these grown women who are in line to get a Pokeball were judging me.
Right.
And they're judging my kid.
Right.
And
instead of like being a village and saying, hey,
absolutely,
is there anything
we can
help? Need help? Or would he like to go ahead? Or I don't know. There's I'm sure there's a whole list of things that they could have chosen differently.
Absolutely. And they didn't. And so for me, that was one of those moments that I carried for a long time where I thought, this is the world I'm going to be facing for the
it
rest of his
lonely.
Life. It is. And parents are lonely and looking for connection. And, you know, that's why things like this are so important, because we all have our own stories and our own paths. And if you hear, you know, one person may talk about this coping mechanism helped me. You know, we were talking earlier and your friend said something about microdosing your private time.
Yeah, microdosing mindfulness.
Yes, I love that. I am going to use that.
Oh, it's yours.
I love that. Because it's true.
Yeah.
We all learn to adapt our lives by what our circumstances are.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, fortunately for me, I don't have to tell off women in line at McDonald's getting a Pokeball. We've progressed past this. But it also shows how far our society has come. We still have a very, very long way to go. But it is getting better.
I would agree with you there, too. But again, it's having people like you able to share your stories is going to make that difference.
Absolutely, and you having podcasts like this.
Thank you. No, I'm very excited about this podcast. I enjoy it. So I was just curious. So what are your plans for the future?
Big thing with Tyler, you know, his business is really established. It cruises along. We're very happy with it. He's got amazing clientele. We are working with Tyler to start doing something like this. He and his best buddy, Jake, have a podcast. They have a Facebook page. We're just morphing them over to YouTube with a podcast. They are Two Guys Talk Sports. His buddy, Jake, is also on the spectrum. Jake is a true blue Chicago fan.
Oh.
And Tyler is a Detroit person, and they both have this encyclopedic knowledge of sports, and the two of them get together, and they're so polite, and they are the most, they will be watching TV, and the national anthem comes on, and they'll be in my basement, and they stand up, put their hands over their hearts, and sing the national anthem. I mean, it is, it's the most wholesome thing you will ever see, but you know, so they'll talk sports and do their thing.
Yeah.
And so we're working with Tyler on expanding that for himself because I'm trying to encourage him to use his own voice more and speak for himself.
And his interests.
Yeah. So that's our big focus with growth. Moving out of our house onto his own, and you know, because I'm not going to be here forever, we have to have those supports set.
Yeah,
but it's an exciting time for us. There's life never stops growing and changing. So
I agree. I'm going to look out for that podcast, though. I'm excited about that. My husband will be too.
He's Detroit Tyler 24 on YouTube.
All right, we got time for one more question.
Yes.
So for families new on this journey, what advice might you give them, Rhonda?
To reach out to others.
Mm.
I did not. I was raised to be very independent, to stand on my own feet. My father owned his own business, and he was a Marine, and you do for yourself.
Yep.
And, you know, with me, now I was raised, your church is your community. And, well, then I moved away from my church and my community.
Yeah.
So I was away from that. And I was, you know, and then, but I was not raised, I was raised to not accept a lot of help.
Right.
And I'm pretty independent, so I didn't seek it out. And I really hurt myself by not putting my pride aside, which is truly what it was, and saying, I'm kind of drowning here.
Yeah.
And I was. There was a lot of time where I was drowning.
Yep.
And I truly wish I had reached out more and been honest. I should have gone into therapy a lot sooner than I did. You know, being able to speak with a counselor would have done a world of good for me.
I second therapy.
And, you know, because I get so focused on the what needs to be done. That I completely ignored allowing myself to go through a grief process, You know, all the touchy feely emotional things, I shut those down for a lot of years.
But they're still with you.
And they're still with me. And yeah. I will get shocked sometimes. Something will happen.
Mm-hmm.
And those incidents from when he was five, like in McDonald's with yep. the Pokeballs, I might have a little resentment against Pokeball for a reason. but it does. It crops back up.
It triggers.
It does, because I didn't deal with it 30 years ago when I should have. And so, you know, me
Let's
now.
Let's be honest. It was a little different then, too. I mean, mental
absolutely.
Health is so much more in the forefront now. So just to give yourself a little
yes.
grace. But I appreciate you sharing that.
It's important. And,
yeah.
you know, I like it now that I follow some pages on Facebook and some different things where parents are speaking out more and connecting more. The social media and, you know, technology has really allowed that to happen, and it's a great thing. I still don't see a lot out there for adults, for people who have adult children with disabilities, because that's different. You know, Tyler's brother graduated high school, went off to college, didn't come home for 6 years because he was off in college.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was the typical growth pattern.
Yep.
Where with Tyler, he's 31 and he lives with me and my husband. And, you know, and that's okay. It's all good.
Yeah.
But it's different.
It is different. And I agree with you. There's not as many things for us adults with kids that are adults with disabilities. And I wonder sometimes if some of that has to do with the fact that, like, we're almost like the first generation that's, and granted, we are lucky and blessed that there are no institutions, but because of that, it's almost kind of new in that way, too, that it's the parents are raising kids all the way through.
Absolutely.
So I think that's probably part of it. And I also think that, like, you would share it. I mean, previous generations didn't talk about it.
No.
So
no,
you just did.
I grew up with an uncle with Downs. Mm. At that time, he was called a mongoloid, and he was institutionalized. They did take him from my grandma, and then eventually he came back. So that was the model I always grew up
right.
with. Uncle Mark was part of our family, but, you know, and he was truly the happiest human being you will ever meet. And so when we knew that Tyler was going to have disabilities, I said, well, if he's as happy as Uncle Mark is, we can deal with everything else.
Yeah.
And you know, which is great, but I'm very grateful that we've progressed past the time where his life doesn't look like my uncle's Mark's life
mm-hmm.
looked. And that's a blessing. And we have a long way to go. There's a lot of adults, a lot of people out there with disabilities who have so much to give to society. They may think a little differently. They may process. Tyler will look like he's not paying any attention, but if you ask him a question, he's got all the answers. You know, that was something we had to work through with school. It's just because he's looking, you know, to the left doesn't mean he's not paying attention to what's going on the right.
Right.
And, you know, there's a lot of people out there who have a lot to give to our community, and we will all be much richer when they're more engaged.
That's beautiful. Well, thank you so much, Rhonda. I really appreciate you sharing your story today, coming on here, you know, telling us all about you mm-hmm. and Tyler, his business, and your journey. I mean, it's truly, like, it's a beautiful story, and I'm so grateful that you could be here today.
It's been an adventure. Thanks for having me.
Of course. And to anybody who's listening in today, I want to thank you for joining us, And if you can review this, share this, follow us, that'd be great. And tune in next time for Let's Plant Houses. Thank you so much.